You know, ever since we started at Bunch of Nuts, people have been asking me and Big Cass for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I really don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you gotta check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to be with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. If you plan on taking the Western Michigan State Broncos this weekend out of the MAC to take down that team up north in Michigan, then this is the website for you. I'm telling you, Shea Patterson looks shaky. This would be a great chance to make some money. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code NUTS. It's uppercase N, lowercase UTS to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code NUTS when creating your account and claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. We have a great show this week. It's Rutgers week. Me and Big Cass will be at the game. We're going to preview it, and we're going to do a fun who's in of road trip drinks. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. As always, I'm joined by Big Cass. And Big Cass, it's our 17th episode, and Ohio State is 1-0.
Yeah, they're 1-0 and on the go and ready for another inferior opponent this week. But this one is a conference game, so it should be a little bit tougher than it was last week.
I'm shocked that the spread is about 35, I believe. And last week, I think Oregon State had, what was it, 38 for them?
Yeah, and we got four, and we won by 46.
I know. I mean, it didn't feel like we dominated them, though, because they dropped 31 on us.
Well, we dominated on offensive side of the ball. That offense is like a well-oiled machine right now. But I would have to say, if Ohio State's defense worked on their tackling, it'd be all right.
I agree. I mean, there was a bunch of missed tackles. It's also week one. I'm not too worried. We'll get into, I guess, our reactions of the Oregon State game in a little bit. But as always, what we start off the show with, in honor of Cardale Jones, you know, he just got cut recently, but he's on the practice squad, San Diego Chargers. But, you know, in honor of his "we ain't come here to play school" tweet, it is the Cardale Jones tweet of the week. Big Cass, you had one. What is it?
Well, I actually had one. It seems like I rarely have one. But I had one that came out during the Michigan game. Kyle Rowland tweeted out during the Notre Dame-Michigan game saying, "I love the fact that I can hear the OHIO chant while these two teams are playing." Well, it says, "At South Bend bar filled with Notre Dame and Michigan fans, and an Ohio State fan keeps chanting OH." Classic. I love it.
That's hilarious. Probably, it was probably like Tennessee Jeff's cousin.
Yeah, it's probably Kentucky Jason or something like that. You know.
just chilling in Notre Dame in South Bend. My tweet of the week, Big Cass, his name is at Nicholas Henkel. He writes, Tate Forcier, question mark, nope. Shane Bars, question mark, nope. Devin Gardner, question mark, nope. Wilton Spate, question mark, nope. John O'Korn, question mark, nope. Jake Rudock, question mark, nope. Shea Patterson, question mark, after one game, doesn't look like it. But the next quarterback probably is the one.
The one quarterback they didn't mention was Denard Robinson, but he's the only one that got a victory over the Buckeyes. And before Denard Robinson, Dan, could you name the last two quarterbacks that at Michigan that beat Ohio State before Denard Robinson?
Did Chad Henne?
No.
He didn't? Oh, my gosh.
He went 0-4.
Oh, my. I was going to say Chad Henne. Tom Brady?
No. He did beat Ohio State in 99, though.
Oh, this is like the hardest trivia game ever.
John Navarre and Drew Henson.
Oh, Drew Henson.
Keep in mind, folks, Tom Brady got benched for Drew Henson.
Right, Big Cass, this might only be me, but every time you hear the name Drew Henson and Drew Stanton, do you just assume that they're the same person?
Sometimes. I mean, Drew Henson's a guy who went to Michigan, got drafted by the Cowboys, got cut by the Cowboys, ended up playing for the Columbus Clippers, and then played one game with the Yankees, I believe.
Yeah, he was a Yankee. But, dude, every time I hear Drew Henson, for some reason, I just think it's Drew Stanton, and it's the other way around. Didn't Drew Stanton play at Michigan State?
Yes.
And they both were second-round picks, I believe, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, dude, they're the same person, I'm convinced. Like, there's no way you can look at me. If Drew Henson and Drew Stanton were in the same room, one, I wouldn't know. I couldn't tell them apart. That's what I'm saying, basically.
I wouldn't know either.
Nor do I care. All right, but this weekend, Big Cass, you know, I'm going to be driving up from New Jersey tomorrow night after work around like 5-6. I'm be road tripping there. Gonna get in probably like 2-3 a.m. in the morning, but I'm really looking forward to seeing you and, you know, going to the Rutgers game this week. It's gonna be a good time as always. But we're in honor, I guess, of your road trip last week and my road trip this week. We're gonna do a who's in of road trip drinks. But first, I just want to hear how your road trip went to West Lafayette with AP. I know you mentioned it on 14 Bullets, but give us the rundown.
It wasn't bad. We had a good time. We stopped at Old Hoosiers Gym. Marked that off my bucket list. It's, if you guys have never seen Hoosiers, then I disown you as a friend. It's one of the best sports movies out there, and got to tour it. It was pretty cool. And then we head over to West Lafayette, and we end up meeting Stuart Swigert, who was on our top 15 list, by the way. And he was all excited about that, signed our 14 Bullets t-shirts. We had a good time. Purdue fans, they're excited over there. And, you know, but my impressions of the game between Purdue and Northwestern was Purdue's not there yet. Northwestern is going to give Wisconsin fits, in my opinion. Northwestern came out with a lot of energy, and if Clayton Thorson was 100% healthy, they would have blew Purdue out of the water, in my opinion.
I will say, Big Cass, that looked like the longest game ever. I was so excited to watch it. Actually, I found you and AP on in the end zone. I took a picture. I sent it to you guys.
Yeah.
But it looked like a blast. But that game was long. I was able to go out, leave at the first quarter, get food, like sit down for like an hour and a half, drive back, and it was only the start of the third quarter when I got back. So that was a long, long game.
I'm going to tell you, since when did media timeouts last 4 minutes? And every single team, I mean, both teams threw the ball. So we leave West Lafayette at midnight, and I end up getting home in my house at like 5:30.
Wow. Oh, you guys didn't get a hotel?
No, we just drove straight back.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is a great segue into the who's in of road trip drinks.
Yes, we had the big, as I said on 14 Bullets, the big Polar Pop thingies. But they were the Circle K Polar Pops. Had a big Coke. And then I put some Gatorade in there. And then we end up listening to some Nick Swardson. which is at like 3:30 in the morning, which is great when you're tired and you need a laugh.
Yeah, I feel that. So all right, let's start with our two first out.
My first out is a straight up Dr. Pepper, dude. Dr. Pepper is one of my favorite drinks, so I have to go with that. And then number five is a McDonald's sweet tea.
That's a great option, the McDonald's sweet tea. Honestly, yeah, dude, those are amazing. For a buck, you can't beat those. My first two out are root beer and then followed by cream soda.
Nice choices. All right, my first four and going from number four, Mountain Dew Kickstart Grape. It's like grape Kool-Aid with a kick, in my opinion. Monster Energy Drink Pink Lemonade. There's no, obviously, their T series. There's no carbonation in it, and I think it's the bomb. And then I put lemon lime Gatorade, but any flavor but fruit punch Gatorade is basically number two. And then with the nice crushed ice Polar Pop Fountain Coke is my number one.
That sounds delicious. I might have to find a Circle K tomorrow night and get one.
Yeah.
But
Fountain Coke is so much better than like Coke in a bottle or Coke in a can, in my opinion.
Yeah, it, for some reason too, if you get it in like the supersized or like the jumbo cups, it tastes 10 times better. Absolutely. So starting with four, I got the Arizona iced tea. Really any of them for a buck, you can't beat that.
Oh yeah.
I got number three, Red Bull, but it has to be the blueberry one or the cranberry one. I like the red and blue ones. Not the original. Not a fan of the original.
Have you tried a Jaeger Bomb with the blue Red Bull?
Oh no, I haven't. I feel like that would be amazing.
Dude, a couple New Years ago, those really kicked my butt. That's all I have to say about that.
I mean, when I go to Bullwinkle's on Saturday night after the game, I'm gonna see if they can like mix it up a little, maybe throw me a blueberry one. But I can't wait for that. Number two, I got a liter of Coke from a gas station. Basically what you were saying, not more general, but 100% agree with what you said about the Polar Plunge, or it could be honestly like McDonald's cup or a Speedway cup, any of those big jumbo cups.
It's styrofoam cup for some reason. Like, yeah. There's something about the styrofoam cup like that just, man, it hits you.
But I got number one. You can't beat the deals that on a road trip. Mountain Dew Kickstart, man. It's like usually like $2 for $3, and if you get the ones with the vitamins, I don't feel super unhealthy, even though it's probably terrible for you, but it gives you that burst of energy, and it's just enough caffeine and just enough sugar and just enough taste where like it locks you in for the rest of the night if you're just drinking a couple of those.
So unanimously, if we put these two lists together, the Fountain Coke with the styrofoam cup and the Kickstart would be one and two.
Yeah, I would say I would honestly put probably the liter of Coke at one, just because I have it as two here, and you have the liter
at one.
Yeah, I'd probably bump that one and then Kickstart two. Yeah, I agree.
And honestly, I left tea off my list. I mean, a McDonald's tea, plus your Arizona tea, because I like the Arizona teas too. So that would be number three.
That's fair. But yeah, I'm gonna be drinking a lot of Kickstarts, maybe a liter of Coke tomorrow night on the way from New Jersey. It's an 8.5 hour drive, Big Cast. But I'm a road warrior, dude. I've done this trip a bunch of times. I'm not trying to sound cocky, but like I know Route 80 like the back of my hand. Route 80, then you go around the Jug Handle in Akron, down I-71. Yeah, I love this trip. I'm used to it.
Yeah, what you do is you gotta, when you're on your way and you said you're a road warrior, you have to listen to the Road Warriors theme song. You have to.
Mm. That, and I'm going to be listening to 14 Bullets tomorrow. Can't wait to listen to your guys' episode. I'm saving it for the trip, though.
There you go. That new intro that Aaron and I put together last night, it just, it was really good.
I can't wait. But let's get into some Ohio State football news. So, obviously we won. What was it? 77-31, I believe?
Yeah, it was a blowout. I mean, 77-31, it's hard to talk about because there's just so much good that happened. And there's also some bad that happened in that game. So, honestly, like I said at the top of this program, tackling was an issue for our DBs and linebackers.
Yeah, I mean, Artavis Pierce, the Oregon State running back, he had two huge runs for what, like 80 yards each? That was just unacceptable. It looked like we just got lazy in the
right.
in the secondary.
I blame it on the rainstorm. We held when I left the game, Oregon State had negative 23 yards rushing at the half.
So how does that happen?
Those two huge runs, man. And then, obviously, in the fourth quarter, Oregon State started running the ball pretty well in the fourth quarter. But you got to keep in mind, we had our third and fourth string defensive line. And keep in mind also, too, that Nick Bosa, on those big runs, Nick Bosa, Robert Landers, Draymond Jones weren't in the game on those big runs either.
Oh, that completely explains it then, Big Cass. But I will tell you this.
Still unexcusable.
Absolutely. It was just more lazy than anything. But I will tell you this. Nick Bosa looks like the best defensive player in the country right now. What I saw from the first game.
Absolutely. And I looked at, by the way, guys, if you're just now, you know, if you guys don't know, I got in the game for free by a Michigan State fan. Gave me a free ticket of all people, you know. So congratulations. Thank you for him. But watching that game, like, and you could tell, and you could probably say the same thing, Dan. Chase Young had to look at Nick Bosa and say, when are you going to let me sack the quarterback? Because Chase Young was right behind Nick Bosa on those sacks. And they both were monsters, but, you know, Bosa was just a little bit quicker.
Chase Young, yeah. Chase Young showed some flashes of, like, greatness, but also he still isn't – you can see how he's still way behind Nick Bosa in his development because, you know, he jumped off sides a couple times and he started out a little shaky and everything. But he's right there and he's going to continue to get better. But Nick Bosa and Draymond Jones, man, that one side of that defensive line, I would just never run it there if I was a team because they have that on lock, Big Cass. They are literally the heartbeat of this defense.
Yeah, and Robert Landers, man, he had an awesome game, too. I mean, that defensive line is just straight up nasty. I believe the linebackers will get better. That you could still see that the linebackers were probably the weakest point still. And then you got to keep in mind, we didn't have our all Big Ten safety, starting safety either, in Jordan Fuller.
Yeah, he played pretty decent, too. But, I mean, the secondary, I was a little disappointed with basically Okudo in Sheffield, because Sheffield, he should have had a pick at one point, and he just kind of didn't play that good in the air. And then Okuda got called for two pass interference penalties. That
one bogus.
One was. I agree.
Yeah, one was bogus.
But he just didn't. He looked a little out of place, and then his poor tackling led to that one touchdown run. But I'm not too concerned because.
No, I'm not either.
Because, I mean, last year, Indiana passed for, like, 430, I think, yards on us. And then next week, too, Baker Mayfield came and threw over 300. But we only held them to, like, about 170 total. But we just didn't force any turnovers through the air and really didn't look elite on defense yet. But I think that's, too, just, you know, the young guys getting used to everything.
Yeah.
But on the offensive side of the ball, Big Cass, Dwayne Haskins looks like an NFL QB.
Yeah, well, keep in mind before I talk about Dwayne Haskins, yeah, Oregon State went 1-11 last year, but they did score a lot of points.
So, they did. They look, I mean, they honestly look a lot. I think Oregon State is going to be a lot, is going to give us a better look than Rutgers will this Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. But going back to Dwayne Haskins, whew, how could his first breaks the record for the only quarterback to throw over 300 yards and over four touchdowns in this first start. And I'm telling you, that dude, he checked down to his second and third options, something that we never saw JT Barrett do. And I love JT Barrett. But this kid came out ready to play, and the wide receivers showed a lot of promise. The only thing the wide receivers still lack of is getting separation, which I think they'll get better as this offense. But this offense just – and then keep in mind, like, Mike Weber had 20 carries for 186 yards rushing and four touchdowns. And then Dobbins still averaged 6 yards a carry. Like, people are saying, well, Dobbins is down right now. No. They just fed the hot hand. Weber had 186 yards in rushing, but Dobbins also averaged 6 yards a carry. So this offense is just – who's going to stop this offense, honestly?
I mean, too, I think what they're doing with Dobbins is they're going to kind of keep him more fresh for the bigger games. I think they're going to feed Weber more in these early games because, one, he's definitely going to head to the NFL next year, and they probably want to make his stats a little better and give him a better highlight tape. And also, they want to, I guess, conserve Dobbins for this year and next year. That's my theory on it, Big Cass.
My theory is that they're both elite. They both can rush over 1,000 yards, and at this rate, they both will. But you got to ride the hot hand. Like I said, this week against Rutgers, Mike Weber might have the week down, and Dobbins will rush over for 186 yards. It might be a week-by-week thing, but I'm telling you, Mike Weber is nowhere to be – he's out to prove a point. He's out to prove that he's still the same back that he was in 2016.
Absolutely. But
I was most impressed out of everybody is the big redwood Buckeye trees we have at the front line. Isaiah Prince was phenomenal. I bashed him so much this offseason, but I know it's against Oregon State, but he protected Dwayne Haskins' blind side. He looked like an All-American left tackle out there.
Oh, yeah, and to Michael Jordan – excellent job his first start at center. I thought he really communicated well with Haskins and everything. And to Demetrius Knox, great job there. Mumford, great job. Malcolm Pridgen, great job. I just butchered his name. Sorry about that. But, I mean, whole offensive line, absolutely amazing job. I mean, I don't know who's gonna stop them either.
Well, Haskins got sacked one time, and he only got forced to run the ball one time. And then even when he was sacked, he was trying to run out of the pocket and stuff. But I'm telling you, that the offense, even the backups, like Tate Martell had one heck of a – what field awareness of Tate Martell?
I'm sorry.
That pitched C.J. Saunders.
Yeah, I mean, C.J. Saunders looked decent. He was returning some punts. I will say this, Big Cass.
That big mess up, though.
I will say this about Tate Martell. You could see when that one drive that day kind of put Tate Martell in like I think the first or second quarter just to give him a look. You could see the difference in him and Haskins right away. That Haskins was miles ahead of him in his development.
Yeah, and this is no knock on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow against Miami completed 49% of his passes. I don't care if it's against Miami. I don't care if it's against Oregon State. By the way, shout out to Cam Johnson. He's out on the field for the first time. I know, hey, look, a squirrel. But he's popped up on the screen, and he's punting the ball right now for the Eagles.
I'm watching it, actually. Oh, he just got it, and it's off. Congrats, first NFL punt.
Solid.
Touchback.
Anyways, going back to the current Buckeyes, but I have no concerns at all with this football team. But yeah, you're right. Going back to with the Burrow, I don't care if you're playing Miami. I don't care if you're playing Oregon State. When you have a guy that threw almost 70%, completed 70% of his passes compared to a guy that threw 49% of his passes. And I had somebody try to argue and still said that Burrow was better. No. Burrow knew Haskins was better, the better thrower. This is no knock on Joe Burrow. He did go to congratulations for beating Miami. But Joe Burrow knew that he was not the next quarterback at Ohio State because Dwayne Haskins proved it on Saturday.
And also, too, Joe Burrow didn't throw any touchdown passes. I know Haskins threw 5 touchdown passes. I will say 2 of them were kind of fake touchdowns because they were that jet sweep when you, instead of handing the ball off, you do a little of like a toss forward and it counts as a pass technically. But Haskins, I mean, from the start, that first pass to K.J. Hill just up the seam seeded it, man. I mean, that was a beautiful throw. And all his throws, too, gave the receivers a chance to really, like, do something with it. Like, catch it in space and run, which is, like, exactly what you got to give our receivers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Haskins going to do. And shout-out to Master Teague and Pete getting their first touchdowns, too. And they look solid.
Yeah, I saw what's his name? Jeremy Lamb or not Jeremy Lamb? Kyle Lamb. I forgot who he writes for, but he tweeted he's gonna call them the duo, the Sneeg or something. I like that.
I like it too.
And what I don't like though is Ohio State paid Oregon State $3.2 million to play them, and then Oregon State came out and had the audacity to say we're never gonna schedule a team like Ohio State again.
Why?
Because apparently they said it was too difficult and they're focused on getting wins, so I think they're going to go with the Alabama strategy and just schedule the Citadel week one.
All right, so they'll schedule Portland State and then Eastern Washington and maybe Idaho, because Idaho is now an FCS school.
That's ridiculous, though. Like, all right, I mean, you scheduled us, like, week one, when you clearly knew you guys were going to be down.
And you don't see the back complaining.
No, it's $3.2 million. You got your butt kicked. I mean, it wasn't that bad, guys. You put up 31. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see Bowling Green or Ohio or Cincinnati complaining.
No, I wouldn't be. Like, I thought Oregon State honestly looked decent, like, better than what I was expecting out of them. And they like to come out and complain that, like, we're too good. It's just kind of ridiculous.
If I'm Jonathan Smith, the head coach of Oregon State, what kind of confidence level does that AD give me? Honestly, yeah, he hired you, but that's showing no confidence in my ability. If I'm Jonathan Smith and that my AD says that, that's got to be a red eye to me and say, hey, this I don't think this guy believes in what I can do.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think Oregon State will be a lot much improved this season, and they're going to put up points. I mean, their backup quarterback came in and threw 2 touchdown passes to that one receiver. I forgot his name, but that one receiver and then Artavis Pierce, the running back, they look like 2 weapons on offense. So I think they're going to be just fine as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think so too. They're not a bowl game. They're not going to win. Go to a bowl game.
They might sneak in at like 6 wins. I could see that.
Hey, I mean, hell, a 5-7 team can make a bowl game, so...
That's true.
Might be the Family Dollar bowl game.
In other news, too, Big Cass, I guess in kind of crappy news, but Brandon Bowen had surgery for a 3rd time, I think, on his leg. So, hopefully he's going to get better. He was huge last year, started 6 games for us at tackle, and was really good for us. And hopefully we can see him back in the Scarlet and Gray next season.
Yeah, I hope so too. But I hate to see it. But the big news, bright and early, 5:45 a.m. on Monday morning, Urban Meyer shows up at the Woody Hayes.
Love it. I love it. He was the only person to be excited to go into work on Labor Day, man.
Yes, because I went to Hobby Lobby to help Megan pick up some wedding stuff, and those women in there did not look too thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, Urban Meyer, I can guarantee you, I feel like he definitely didn't sleep that night. He was up. He was probably up at like midnight, just like counting down the seconds.
I guarantee it. I mean, I was telling the guys next to me at the game when Tate Martell went in, and I was like, he's probably like, he's not ready yet, or DJ Saunders muffed that punt. He's like, he probably broke a, crushed a beer can and threw it at the TV or something. I mean, but Shelly Meyer was at the game, so Urban had to have been watching the game by himself.
Oh, yeah, or Shelly might have been, you know, like, had the camera on her secretly or something, and he's, like, looking through, like, a secret, like, body cam or something.
Well, I was saying that Ryan Day probably had, in his other ear, a little minor earpiece, and it was Shelly on the phone with him, and then Shelly was on the other phone, on another phone with Urban, and they were just, you know.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit. I mean, Ryan Day was his puppet.
I think Ryan Day did a phenomenal job. I think he's done a phenomenal job filling in as acting head coach. And he's got this team's mindset that, you know, we're just moving forward. And I think that's what Urban Meyer wants, too. And I think that's what the message that Ryan Day is sending. And he's always made that clear that I'm not replacing Urban Meyer. I'm just holding up the fort, basically holding the fort up until he comes back.
Agreed, Big Cass. I mean, Ryan Day, I'm excited to have him. He honestly could be a coach of the future if he doesn't end up leaving Ohio State. Me too. I hope we do like a Lincoln Riley thing with him and just keep him.
Yeah, I would keep – if I'm Gene Smith and Urban Meyer, I keep flat. I would make him the highest paid assistant coach in the nation and have him be the coach in waiting.
Absolutely, like a Josh McDaniels type thing or something. But in recruiting news, Big Cass – I know you have some recruiting news, well, some black stripe news too, but Kane Patterson has decommitted from Ohio State. He is now going to be a Clemson Tiger. That's interesting.
I think Dabo Swinney and Clemson used that to get into Kane Patterson's head. I think they used this whole situation. And I hope you fail, Kane Patterson. I really do.
I mean, I think he just kind of used this as an excuse to go to a different, like, just to go to, he used the whole Urban Meyer thing as an excuse to go to Clemson. Like, if you just didn't want to be a Buckeye, that's fine, but don't use this as an excuse, especially when you have, like, Harry Miller's mother coming out, who was a victim of domestic violence, basically standing up for Urban. I don't think it's right that she can do that. Well, it is right that she can do that. She has, but it's wrong that he used it in a negative way, in my opinion.
Exactly. But my recruiting news, not much has changed. Paris Johnson, offensive tackle for the 2020 class, has greeted Urban Meyer. When Urban Meyer came Monday, him and his parents had shown up to practice and greeted Urban Meyer on his comeback. Zach Harrison is now 94% leaning towards Ohio State. One of the top targets, Darnell Wright, an offensive tackle, 6'6", 320. He's looking like he's leaning more towards Ohio State also, because they haven't really had any commitments since. They had a commitment from Kane Patterson. They dropped, and everybody's starting to get more commitments. They're at number 12 right now in the country. But now that when Urban Meyer comes back and we start getting these guys back, they'll be back up in the top five.
How big of a bear hug do you think Paris Johnson gave Urban Meyer?
I don't know. I mean, maybe not a hug, maybe a handshake and stuff. But I like the fact that people are sticking up for Urban Meyer, so.
I feel like linemen, their go-to is just a big bear hug. Whenever they see anyone they like, they just go up and pick them up and just, like, squeeze them.
Right.
But, all right. You know what week it is, Big Cass. It's week two. It's a, I'm not going to say a big game. It's a game.
It's a big 10 game. So, big life, big stage, big 10. So, it is a big game.
Yeah. About, all right, yeah, I mean, it's the
other Scarlet team coming in.
It's the Ohio State D-League team, I guess.
It wouldn't even be the D-League team.
It's the LeVar Ball League team of, I don't know. The Big Baller brand of Ohio State. But Rutgers, yeah. They're 1-0, though, so good for them. I'm really impressed that they were 1-0. I'm actually impressed that they scored 35. I was not expecting that at all. But
I'm impressed that they still won, even though their starting quarterback threw 3 picks.
Yeah, Arthur Sikowski. He's a freshman. He did complete 66.7% of his passes and passed for 205 yards. But he threw 3 picks against, I don't even know what, it was what, North Texas? Or
Texas State.
Texas State. Oh, my God. Like, come on.
Wasn't Texas State, like, TMU and Friday Night Lights?
Yeah. Or was it Necessary Roughness? It was one of those movies.
It was TMU. Like, TMU, like, if you go back and watch the end of the first season, going into the second season, when he ends up going back to Dillon, it's Texas State Stadium, and they're calling it TMU.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, good job, Rutgers. They basically beat a high school team. And their top cornerback, Blashawn Austin, is going to miss Saturday's game due to a knee injury. He is one of their top corners, and I'm pretty sure that knee injury was from when Johnny Dixon just broke his ankles last year.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm just going to assume it was that guy, and that's the dude who got hurt. But I mean, Big Cass, I don't understand how the spread is 3 points less this time. If anything, it should be like 52 points or something, because Ohio State is just going to mop the floor with these chumps.
Do you think they put 70 points up on this week?
I'm going to say at least 63 or 60.
Yeah, I think Ohio State. I think they'll get to work on their tackling. That'll get better. I think J.K. Dobbins will be the guy that rush over 100 yards this week. We saw Austin Mack, K.J. Hill, and Terry McLaurin emerge. Look for Paris Campbell to have a better day. I think that Jeremy Rucker will get in the mix a little bit along with Luke Farrell. And I think that we're going to see. I think we might see another 5-touchdown pass game by Dwayne Haskins.
I think, honestly, we're only going to see at least 3 to 4 touchdowns from Haskins. I'm going to say we're going to see a touchdown from Tate Martell, either on the ground or through the air.
I think so, too.
I think, yeah, this is the week. This is going to be the Tate Martell show in the second half. And, if our secondary doesn't get a pick, though, then I'm going to start pressing the panic button, because I know Rutgers isn't a air raid offense, but this quarterback threw 3 picks against Texas State. We got to get him at least once.
Yeah, I think we do. I think Chase Young has a big game on defense, and I also think Jordan Fuller, he'll be back and he'll have a big game. And Pete Warner led the team and led the linebackers in tackles, so look for Baron Browning to fill that void, and I think you might see Tough Borland play this week.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see Tough Borland, maybe ease him in there a little before the TCU game. Like, give him a couple drives or a couple plays, but I want to see him get some game action.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, do you think – all right, here's the biggest question I need to ask you. Does Rutgers score a point this year?
Against the Buckeyes?
Yeah.
They usually do when they play in their shoe. So I think they'll get a cheap touchdown.
I mean, as a native New Jerseyan, it pains me to say this. I don't think they get a point this year, Big Cass. I don't, dude. I mean,
I'm going with my final score to be. I'm gonna go 58-6.
They're gonna miss the extra point or 2 field goals.
Yeah. We're going to get a safety because we're going to block the point and take it to the house.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, seriously, I don't.
That is my Tennessee Jeff bold prediction.
We forgot to have him on. We forgot to contact him.
And we forgot to contact. I've been so busy this week, so I did it for him. Mm-hmm. block the field goal for a touchdown, get you for a safety, and we go and we have we win 58-6.
I mean, I will say this: it's Rutgers. It's I don't think it's even worth. It's not even worth Tennessee Jeff's time, to be honest.
Probably.
It's this is his bye week. All right, like. This is his bye week. Did you hear though? He went out and got the team a giant sheet cake. That was so nice of him.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was like I didn't see that, but that was so nice of him. I mean,
yeah, I got to go down to the Blackwell and I saw the cake. It was pretty nice.
A question: is this an NCAA violation?
I don't know. He's not a booster, so.
Oh, true. But yeah, hopefully it's not an NCAA violation.
The best thing I saw was. When I first got there, I look up and I see Nick Bosa with a big plate of food.
Oh, he was probably starving.
Maybe.
What was he eating?
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
I feel like all those big guys just eat constantly.
He's actually not that big of a guy.
I mean, he's jacked, though. You see his muscles?
Yeah. But you know what? You saw the picture of me and Tate Martell. We're the same height, man.
I think he's just a little faster.
Oh, yeah, he obviously, but we're the same height.
What? How'd you get that picture of him? What'd you say to him? You're like, yo, take a picture with me? Or, like, how'd you approach him?
Yeah, that's what I did.
And he was cool about it? Just like, yeah, no problem?
Yeah, he was real cool. Even though John, looked like Isaiah Pryor wanted to headbutt me, but he was real cool about it, too.
He looked kind of angry in that picture.
Yeah.
But so yeah, Rutgers looks like a lock if I've ever seen one. So yeah, if you're using my bookie, it's promo code NUTS like usual. But just take Ohio State, the spread, money line, whatever. I mean, if we lose to Rutgers, we deserve the death penalty for like a year or two. Like there's no way around it.
I know we have Cardale Jones tweet of the week, but Tennessee Jeff goes out with the Facebook post of the week. It's a picture of Nick Bosa with his shoulders doing the shrug. It says, just so you know, I have more touchdowns than Jay Patterson.
Let's get into our love to see it, hate to see it, big Cass.
Alrighty.
What I love to see... Sorry, I cut you off there. I didn't know if you were going to go or not. What I love to see, Big Cass, this Le'Veon Bell holdout, because I'm a genius. Like I don't mean to brag, but a couple days ago, I took James Conner in the 10th round of my fantasy draft in one of my leagues, and all my friends said I was crazy. Well, you know what? Turns out Le'Veon might not even play this season now, and I'm a genius. So that's what I love to see.
I love to see that we're watching football right now. NFL football is back, and it looks like
Cam Johnson's on the screen.
Yeah, and Jake Elliott, who was drafted by the Bengals last year, Bengals cut him for fat Randy Bullock, and this dude goes and wins the Super Bowl for the Eagles.
Good hold. Oh, no! That might have been a bad hold on Cam Johnson.
He made it, though.
Oh, I thought he missed it. Oh, he made it. Oh, okay. I thought he shanked that.
Nope. Good hold by Johnston.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
That was crazy, though.
He's like, dude, you're right. It's like a squirrel on the screen when we see it.
Yeah. But anyways, my hate to see it, my man Cardale Jones getting cut.
Yeah, I feel bad. And Braxton, too.
And JT.
A rough week for Ohio State quarterbacks, man.
They're all on the practice squad, though.
They get paid somewhat.
Yeah, they're getting paid more than us. Oh, also, what I hate to see, and I'm bringing this up, I hate to see the fact that I had to go take a drug test for my new job, and they had to cut hair off my chest to send it in for the lab. I hate the fact that for a $14 an hour job has stricter drug testing policies than the NFL.
It's so ridiculous, dude. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yes, it is. So I got patchy chest hair right now because of it.
Dude, what I hate to see, and I'm not taking a stance on this at all, is all this Nike crap on my timeline. I don't care what Nike does. I don't care politically. I'm not into politics. I don't care. What?
Their stuff is comfortable. Their stuff is awesome.
Yeah, no, I honestly, Big Cass, here's my take on it. Nike can literally burn a village down in China, you know, soil the crops, burn their water supply, kill a bunch of pandas, and you know what? Guess what I'm doing this weekend? I'm going to Barnes & Noble, and I'm going to spend $200 on all this new Ohio State Nike gear because it's freaking comfortable, and I enjoy Nike. I don't care what they do. They can literally... Yeah, I don't care what they do. Like, there's nothing that's going to change my mind. And everyone freaking out about it or whatever, get over it. Get off my timeline. I don't care. It's football season. I don't care about these protests. I'm over it. This argument's gone on like 2 years now, I feel like. And it's just the same two sides just arguing. And like, there's like 90% of America who's just like, shut up, everyone. Like, we just want to watch football.
And with no end in sight.
Yeah, it gets me heated. It's just like, when is this gonna end?
Exactly, it's annoying.
We need a game. We need a game played. All right, Big Cass, this is what we're gonna do. On one side, we're gonna get Colin Kaepernick as the quarterback, and he's gonna draft his team. The other side, we're gonna get like Tim Tebow. All right, so if you're pro Kaepernick in all the national anthem sitting, you go on that side. And if you're like, I guess pro, like, I don't know, good and conservative, go with Tebow, and then they'll just go at it. Winner wins, and that's the decision. Like, we need something to decide this.
Yeah, we do. I don't know.
But I'm all heated. Let's get into what that team up north is up to.
Besides losing to Notre Dame, which I predicted.
You did. I gotta give you props, man. That was spot on.
I even said Shea Patterson was going to struggle, and he did. So, jokes on Jim Harbaugh.
Which, this begs the question, Big Cass. Is Shea Patterson still the savior?
Well, he's 0-1 against rivals this year. I think he'll bounce back against Western Michigan. But we'll see when he plays Wisconsin in a few weeks or Nebraska in a few weeks. And we know they play Sparty, who also struggled. We know they play Penn State, who struggled. And then we know they play Ohio State, who didn't struggle. Hats off to the Buckeyes, who are the only team in the Big Ten that did not have any type of struggle last week.
Absolutely. But I saw an article by Mason Brew. They are the SB Nation affiliates for that team up north. And they wrote an article, and the title was, Patterson was nearly perfect with a clean pocket. So, I mean, this is just, I guess, the delusion that some Michigan fans are up to these days. Like, that, like, with a clean pocket, I mean, like, you're never going to get a clean pocket. Rarely, though. That's so tough. Like, that's a perfect world, man.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. It's the fact that I put this question on Facebook after the game. I was like, Michigan is now 1-7 or 1-6 against arch rivals. I wouldn't say it's time to panic yet, but if Ohio State and Michigan State does beat Michigan this year, Jim Harbaugh will be 1-8 versus arch rivals. 1-8.
Which is unacceptable. And
is it time for him to leave?
Well,
losing those rivalry games doesn't hurt as much as going to overtime and losing to Iowa or taking Indiana to double overtime and barely squeaking out a victory.
Okay, all right, so according to this Yahoo article by Nick Nick Bromberg, it says, Michigan president, no, Jim Harbaugh is not on the hot seat. But, so it was Reddit College Football. They did some research, and these are all the coaches that have gotten fired after this has been said by, like, an AD or a president. Kevin Sumlin, they said that about him, fired 243 days later. Hot seat for Arizona's Rich Rodriguez. It's no longer an issue. Fired 42 days later. Report, Tennessee AD John Curry comments on Butch Jones' job security. Fired 52 days later. Cal football, AD Sandy Barber says Jeff Tedford not on hot seat. Fired 88 days later. Brett Bielema, 100% supported by Long. Both fired within 78 days. Will Muschamp gets the dreaded vote of confidence, fired 368 days later.
I don't know, man. I think Michigan's fans, and I think Michigan does, they Harbaugh, Michigan is better with Harbaugh, hands down. We know.
But on defense.
On defense, yeah. The fact is they, I don't know what is up. They can't even get, like Joel Klatt said, the change has to be, you have to get an offensive line, you have to establish a run game, because you're a power run first football team that has good play action passing, and they don't have that. They haven't had a good back, in my opinion, since Mike Hart.
They really haven't. I mean, no, they had,
I mean, they haven't.
Higdon's decent, but
Higdon's decent and can be that guy, but Mike Hart is the last running back to be very good at Michigan.
Absolutely, and they need to go to like a spread offense or something. Like this offense that they run doesn't fit today's system, like today's college football. It's like Georgia Tech running the triple option.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just an archaic offense. And you know, with all these teams running, like, the spread, you know, the RPOs, Michigan's got to get with the times, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just a shame to see for them. But, I mean, it's really not, because I love seeing them suffer, but I like to beat them when they're ranked.
Yeah, I do too, and I think they will be ranked, but they've got to get better. They really do. And if I was a Michigan fan, I'd be highly disappointed.
Absolutely, Big Cass. So, pivoting from Michigan and that, I guess, up north, let's go a little down south here. Let's rip the SEC.
The only thing I've got is their weak schedule this week. Auburn plays, I believe, Alabama State. Alabama plays Arkansas State. I mean, Texas A&M does play Clemson, but I still think of them in the Big 12. Let's see here. Georgia plays South Carolina. Now, that's a good game. I'll give Georgia that at South Carolina. LSU plays Southeastern Louisiana. So basically, the SCLSU Mud Dogs.
I was literally just about to say that too. They got Bobby Boucher coming for them.
They play LSU plays SELA.
SCLSU Mud Dogs, got it.
Eastern Louisiana Lions.
Ole Miss doesn't play anyone good either. They play someone doo doo.
Mississippi State does play Kansas State. I'll give them that. So basically three SEC teams play somebody this week.
And
Bama plays Arkansas State. The only teams that do is Georgia plays South Carolina. That's a conference game. Okay, we'll give them that.
That's going to be a good game, though. I'm looking forward to that Bama one.
Plays Clemson. That's it. Okay, Florida, Kentucky. Okay. But you got Auburn, Alabama State versus Alabama State. You got the SCLSU Mud Dogs playing LSU, basically, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, but yeah, you know what? It. SEC people, they're going to be like, well, Ohio State has Rutgers, but, like, that's nothing we can really do about that. They're in our conference.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I have to say to all the SEC? I'm going to take the high road here, though, Big Cass. You know what I have to say to all these SEC people who think
you gotta say, what do you gotta say?
I'm gonna bash him. You know what I'm gonna say?
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
That's what I'm gonna say.
That's the greatest thing ever. But I have to stick up for Nick Saban. He's right.
Yeah, he is. He is.
He's absolutely right.
He took the higher. No, I honestly, I agree with Nick Saban there. I think it's wrong that they're trying to. The media is trying to kind of make him pick between a guy. Obviously, the guy's Tua, but he's Nick Saban. At least knows how to protect his players, and I don't like how the media was quick to try to, you know, demonize him for that and throw him under the bus, and basically kind of. They kind of went after him right away. They were basically like, oh, he owes that reporter an apology. And, like, I don't think he meant it. And, like, yeah, he came off kind of like a jerk. But you also have to understand, he was just coaching for 3 hours. It's hot out there. And, you know, he's an intense guy.
And Maria Taylor, even, like, you could tell her demeanor. Like, because she said, I feel you. Like, mm-hmm. meaning I'm tired of asking this question.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Oh, by the way, I forgot Missouri was in the SEC. They play Wyoming.
Whoa, God. What a game.
And let's see who else in the SEC. You know what? It'd be easier if I just hit SEC. Should be like everybody in the SEC should be ranked, right?
It should be. Isn't Florida ranked now?
Yeah, they're like 25th.
They actually look decent, though. I will say they might have a quarterback finally.
They got a good coach. They finally got Dan Mullen. It should have been the coach the first time after Urban left.
Yeah, I don't know how they messed up with McElwain.
Okay, here's the slate of games this week for the SEC. Mississippi State's at Kansas State. Okay, I'll give them that. Nevada's at Vanderbilt. Okay.
Trash.
Arkansas State at Alabama.
Trash.
Georgia at South Carolina.
Pretty good.
Southern Illinois at the Salukis at Ole Miss. East Tennessee State at Tennessee.
Come on.
Clemson at Texas A&M.
That's going to be decent at least.
Yeah. Southeastern Louisiana at LSU.
SCLSU. Good for them. On the way to the Bourbon Bowl.
Right. Wyoming at Missouri. By the way, tickets are starting at $6 a piece for that game. Ole Miss is selling tickets for $5.
Trying to go?
And Alabama is also selling tickets for $5.
Five? Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. $5 for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I'm taking a picture right now. And I'm sending it to you.
Now, breaking news, Tuscaloosa is a bad sports town. $5. You know, I paid like $70 for my Rutgers tickets.
I paid $140 for both of mine.
Come on. Oh, my. That made me angry. Like, come on. Why does Ohio State have such jacked up ticket prices? It's not fair, Big Cass. Our fans are too loyal. We go to the games. We have decent scheduled games. It's not fair.
No, it's not. Hold on. I'm sending this to you right now.
Oh, you sent it.
Because Vanderbilt, they're selling those for $3 a piece. LSU also $6 a piece. I sent you the whole list.
I'll check it when I get off. I might have to put down the Twitter account, but that is just unacceptable. I mean,
yeah. Oh. On Arkansas is at Colorado State. Kentucky's at Florida, and that is your and Alabama State's at Auburn. That is your slate of games.
I mean, like Arkansas versus Kentucky, Arkansas versus Colorado State. They didn't even, the SEC couldn't even get the best team in Colorado. This week, I mean,
according to this list, that is the third most expensive game. The most expensive game is obviously Georgia at South Carolina. The second one is Clemson at Texas A&M, and then it's Arkansas at Colorado State, and then Kentucky at Florida, And then Mississippi State, Kansas State. At least Auburn's selling theirs for $21.
Here, I'm going to read off the Big Ten games. I mean, hold on. Gotta grab this. The Big Ten Conference football schedule on ESPN. Let's pull it up here, Big Cast. Saturday, September 8th, we got Eastern Michigan, Purdue. Duke Northwestern, that's decent. Western Michigan, Michigan, New Mexico, Wisconsin, Colorado at Nebraska, that's a good game. That's an old rivalry game. Rutgers at Ohio State, that's trash, unfortunately. Iowa State at Iowa, that's a really good game, actually. Maryland at Bowling Green, no. Fresno State at Minnesota, that's a sneaky game. Fresno State was ranked at the end of last season.
Yeah.
We got Virginia, Indiana, that's a decent matchup. Western Illinois, Illinois. That's literally dead even to the spread.
What's the ticket price on that one?
What?
What's the ticket price on that one?
It doesn't show me. But
it doesn't show.
We got also the big games are Penn State, Pittsburgh, and then Michigan State, Arizona State. So at least there's some decent games this week.
Right. By the way, I just looked at the Big 12. Texas has the lowest out of the Power 5 schools selling their tickets against Tulsa for $2 a piece.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Dude, I would go to a Texas game for $2. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm
kidding too. I go to a Rutgers game for $2. I would go to a Miami of Ohio game for $2, man.
By the way, they play Cincinnati this week.
That's actually going to be a really good game. That's like that's a good local game for Ohio people.
Yeah.
But
all right, man.
As we wrap up, man, let's give our predictions on the score.
I'll give my keys to victory. And the score prediction, tackle better. Tackling has to be the big key this weekend. And also the offensive line, keep making them holes and blocking for Dwayne Haskins. Because I believe Dwayne Haskins, this week he was able to go to the sidelines, get him a cup of Gatorade, come back and still make a throw. Keep filling in the lanes for Weber. But the biggest key of the game, tackling. And then I think, like I said, I'm going 58-6 final, or 59-6 final.
I love it. My key of the game is just play defense, really. Don't make this Sikowski kid, you know, anything more than he is. He threw three picks against that high school, basically. And I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't be improved in the secondary after this week and Urban's back. So, really, just get better in the secondary. The offense, I think, is going to be there. Worst case scenario, feed Dobbins a little. Maybe get him a couple touchdowns. I know he's hungry. And I'm going to say 63-0.
All right. Wow.
So, this does it for episode 17 of A Bunch of Nuts. Once again, check out mybookie.com. Use promo code NUTS. And also, don't forget to check out teespring.com. We have some T-shirts available for you. A Bunch of Nuts T-shirts. We got black short sleeves and black long sleeve T-shirts. Be sure to check those out. I'm going to be wearing mine to the game. And as always, Big Cass, a pleasure having you on. Any last words?
Nope. Go Bucks and win the moment.
Absolutely, man. Go Bucks, and it's going to be a great, great weekend, and I can't wait. This has been A Bunch of Nuts, presented by Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat with us.